The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Well, we have made it to Auburn, Alabama, the Iron Bowl. I think you know what that means. The deepest and most fiercest rivalry in the country is 24 and a half hours away. We're live on the just spectacular campus of Auburn, looking inside Jordan-Hare Stadium as we say hello to you for the next 4 hours, and we're delighted to be here on this Thanksgiving weekend, and we're thankful to have Coach Brian Harsin joining us at the top. Coach, it's great to see you. I hope you and your team had a great Thanksgiving. I know it's not a restful week with the Alabama game coming up.
Right, yeah, it's not. Yeah, a lot of preparation, and certainly our focus is on the Iron Bowl, but we had a chance to practice early on Thursday, get out with families. All the players had a chance to get with coaches and somebody to be here during this time, and it was good. But refocus back now on getting ourselves one more day prepared before we go out there and play tomorrow.
Coach, you've seen some big rivalries in your life and your career, and I'm sure everyone has whispered to you, Coach, let me just explain to you what this is all about. But it seems like you have a pretty good grasp once you land in this state. But as you're going through the final workout in a minute and the meetings before this game, what do you feel and what do you think about this event?
Yeah, the first question I got asked after I did my press conference on the 24th was, you know, what do you know about the Iron Bowl? And so you knew right then and there how important this is. Rivalry week, it's important for a lot of reasons, but you know, you look at your schedule, you know, at the end of the year, you want to finish with a win, you want to finish successfully, and you're going to finish against the team you play every single year. And there's a lot on the line, you know, the fan base is everybody. And the one thing that I've been asked all week, you know, what do you know about the Iron Bowl? Well, I've watched this game, and it's one that every single year you're looking forward to, no matter where you are. You know who's playing in the game. It's Auburn, Alabama. And so to be a part of that, we're excited for it. You know, we need to focus on the game and what we have to do to win it, but also know that this is a special game, and there's a lot that comes with it. And so handle that properly and then go out there and play four quarters and, you know, be ready to fight. It's a rivalry game. You never know what can happen, and certainly that's what our focus is.
It would also seem, and I want you to answer this, as big as this theater is going to be tomorrow, and it's huge, you've already played at Penn State in primetime at a whiteout. You've played Georgia. You've been to Texas A&M. You've been the gauntlet. As big as this game is, I would dare say this team of yours is well prepared for it.
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's really what this whole entire season has been about. You know, every single game you learn something, you apply it to the next week, you get better, hopefully. You know, and we did some things early on in the season. We've had a few games that have been disappointing, but you learn from that and you apply it to what you're doing. And right now our team is very focused on what we have to do to be successful in this game. You know, four quarters, execution, all the things we talk about each and every year. But at the same time, go out there and like you said, this stage and playing in this game, be excited about that. Enjoy the opportunity when you step on the field, and you're playing against a really good football team. Alabama's, you know, one of the best teams in the country and have been for a long time. Well, have yourself ready to play, and certainly, you know, go out there and what we say, cut it loose and go out there and play four full quarters.
Coach, I know if you're watching this from a distance, you can say to yourself, well, 3 weeks ago this program in some ways controlled its own destiny, and now it doesn't. I know these are more for after the season evaluations, but in the moment, what are you feeling about where this team is?
Yeah, we did. You know, we had that 6-2 start, and you put yourself in a position to do exactly what you said, control your destiny. And, you know, it comes down to you're playing really good teams. You know, that's the one thing. I mean, you're playing really good teams. You get into your division, and everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to play for a championship. Well, you got to understand what that takes week in and week out. And so, you know, it's not ever one thing. It's a combination of things. But what we feel like here is, you know, we're building this culture. We're building this program to hopefully be a championship-type program. And what our team did this year and the things that we've learned, and certainly the season's not over yet. We got to go finish tomorrow. You know, we got to take all that when the season's over. What do we learn from that? How do we apply it moving forward? what are some of the pieces that we need? What can we do better as a staff? You know, you really got to evaluate, starting with me and everybody in the program, what we're doing, but know, you know, we're not that far away. And, you know, that little gap takes a lot to really close that, to be able to be that type of team, but it's there, and now we just got to get the right pieces in place to go out there and have a chance to do that in the future.
Coach, I know it's one thing to look back after the season, but a lot of times, and you've done this, you made a tough call early in the season with your own staff. You have to make changes along the way to your team personnel. How difficult is it as this train is racing to stop for a second and go, I think this needs to be changed or tweaked?
Yeah, it's difficult because there's so many things happening, and there's so many other factors too, you know, and one of the things, you know, it's never one particular player or one particular situation. It's a combination. And that's really what I think you have to evaluate every single week is, you know, are we headed in the right direction? Are we doing things that we need to be doing to continue to be successful? And if not, you need to make a change. And so you hope you don't have to pivot necessarily during a season. You hope you're just tweaking because you've prepared yourself leading into that properly. But sometimes as the season goes on, you need to pivot. You got to change. And I think that's important to identify that and recognize, all right, this is not going the way we want it to, or, hey, these are things that we can do a better job of. And you make those changes, and then you go full steam ahead with whatever it is you're doing moving forward, and you believe in that, and you try to go execute that to the best of your ability.
You've done this for a long time at a very high level, and I'm offering this from a distance, but it seems like you have a specific idea of how not only you want your schemes to look, but the culture of a program. How difficult is that to, I mean, essentially you've parachuted in to a program that existed and you're trying to change it, but it's not easy to do in a short period of time. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, no, it's not easy, but I also think, you know, you surround yourself with the right people. And I also think it's, as we came in here and inherited this football team, and there was changes made on the staff, and that's not easy on players. I went through four head coaches when I was a player, so, you know, I'm sensitive to that. But it's also identifying why, for you as an individual, this is going to be good, and why this is important for our team. You know, I always think you have to identify that. This is why we're doing this. This will help you. This will help us. And I really think our team has responded to that. And I do feel like there's leaders on this team that want to be the foundation of the future of this program. They're going to play their last game in Jordan-Hare Stadium. But they've also worked really hard to help set a foundation for the future of Auburn football. And I appreciate that. And, you know, we all want to succeed together. So it's an everyday 1-0 environment is what you're trying to create, so that you have that culture that you're building in place. So, you know, we can do the things we want to do. And right now we're always installing. We're building that every single day, and we'll continue that, you know, I imagine all the way through, you know, the entire time we're here in this program. So it's just got to be the mindset of the people that are in your program to understand that that's the most important thing. When you have the right culture, you have the right environment, the things that we're doing scheme-wise and all the other stuff will come.
Finally, Coach, as you'll meet with your team in a few minutes and obviously spend the evening with them, what do you want them to be thinking about tonight in relation to the Alabama game, and what will you be thinking about?
Well, I think a lot about the players. You know, we have 33 guys that are going to walk tomorrow. And, you know, this week I've met with several players, and it's every year this time of year, players start coming in because it's coming to an end. Reality's setting in. This is going to be my last game at home. This is going to be the last opportunity I have to play in this environment. And, you know, what I want our guys thinking about is executing their assignments, being ready to play, going out there to fight for four quarters, enjoying the rivalry against a really, really good football team. We know Alabama's a great team. And at the same time, you know, taking it all in, you know, for that opportunity that we have out there. And because this team will change, you know, when this game is over, this team will change. And that's the beauty of the seasons. You don't have the same team coming back, and there's different pieces and parts. So let's maximize the opportunity we have. Let's enjoy the moment. But at the same time, we're going out there to win, and we're going out there to play our best football. And in rivalry games, you never know what's going to happen. So just hang on and be there in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, when you get your opportunities to go make those plays, go out there and make them. And, you know, let's change the game somehow in our favor.
Coach, I know how busy it is this day before. Thank you for making time for us, and all the best tomorrow.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Brian Harsin, as we kick it off here on a Friday afternoon from Auburn.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. The Gridiron guest from Johnsonville brought to you. Well, the Gridiron guest is Tim Tebow. He's brought to you by Johnsonville. Shouldn't be that complicated. I was telling Barkley was just on. He was here Wednesday. I asked him about – Bo Nix made some comments earlier this week about the officiating, yeah. Always giving favoritism to Alabama. I asked Charles about that. He said, first of all, you don't poke the bear, number one. And he said, second of all, if you're not in the game, be quiet.
Well, I'll tell you, Charles never has a hard time speaking his mind.
No.
He's pretty good at that. That is for sure.
But he was funny about it. I think if it had been another player, he would have been more critical. But you know, he's a little sensitive with Auburn, as you well know.
Yes, he is. He loves his school.
He does. We just had Coach Harsin on. I've been around him a couple of times. I really like his style. He's very low-key, serious, and I think he's frustrated. 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, when we were out in College Station, they were in control of their own destiny, and now they're somewhat holding on for dear life.
It's still early. There's so many ups and downs. You know, it's obviously in this league, you can have 1 year it doesn't go your way, no. And you can be gone. We see that a lot of different places. And so,
I feel like we just saw that.
Yeah, we did. I think, you know, I've liked some of the things that he's done, some of it, you know, his mannerisms, some of his comments I've appreciated. I also think there's probably a little bit of an adjustment period getting used to this league, too. But his success at Boise, did they have some talent when he showed up? Yes, yeah. They really did. But I think there's also fitting it to his culture and his mode, and I think that's going to take a little bit.
No doubt. Talking to Tim Tebow here, and there's – you know, there are games going on now. There's games tomorrow. I want to get your thoughts on the game last night because Lane Kiffin snuck up on us this year. 10-2 record, probably going to the Sugar Bowl. I know we thought he was capable of a good year, but that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I think he's done a great job this year. I think we're people really highlight in the media highlights, and rightfully so, is their offense and scoring points, and he's a really good quarterback coach and developer and Jeff Levy and this offense, and it's exciting. But look down the stretch. It really was their defense that stepped up. And, yes, they still miss a lot of tackles, and it probably drives him nuts. But DJ Durkin has done a really good job down the stretch. I mean, you know, besides the last couple of drives, you know, they did a really good job against Leach and this offense and Will Rogers. And, you know, even down the stretch, even at the end of the game against Tennessee, they made stops. Against A&M, stop after stop given. Zach Calzada didn't play very good. But I want to give a lot of credit to what Lane has done in bringing in coordinators that have been able to develop not necessarily the strengths of the team. And that's why I think they had a successful year, because it wasn't just dependent on Matt Corral. Did he lead them? Should he be a Heisman finalist? In my opinion, yes. Has he had a great season? Is he probably going to go down as maybe one of the best or one of the best in Ole Miss history? Yeah. I mean, there's a few others that are really good, but he's got to be in the top few there in history, and give him a lot of credit. But, man, that team stepped up. Their running backs ran hard last night. You know, their linebackers are flying around making tackles, and I think he's done a great job of starting to build the culture there. That's going to be really interesting, because if he stays, will he be able to continue to build that culture, or is he looking for, you know, a different spot?
Yeah, no question. Talking to Tim Tebow here as we reflect back on last night, look ahead a little bit to tomorrow. I want to get your thoughts. I know you were asked about it somewhere today because I saw your name pop up, but that could be anywhere. With you. But you know, Nick Saban had some comments this week about the self-absorbed fan. Now, we're not familiar with them on this program, of course. But I am curious, because it was quite a rant for – and I jokingly said to my wife when we were watching, I said, Coach, you created this problem by giving them so many championships. But in the end, what are your thoughts on just the way fans think nowadays?
Well, first, I thought it was one of the more honest things that he said in a long time. I thought he was very transparent. And you could I feel like in the middle of that, he wanted to stop – and maybe calm down, and probably in his head he heard a few of the S ideas talking to him, but he just cared so much. He's like, I'm going to say it anyways, you know? And I loved it. I thought he was honest, very transparent. I thought it came from his heart, and I agreed with it. I agreed with his sentiment. I think that Alabama has some of the best fans in the country, but they're also probably the most spoiled fans in the country. And shoot, let's be honest, you see them leaving early for games. It's not good enough just to win. We were just talking about it with Roman in the production meeting. Is, you know, listen, you know, in 2004, 5, 6, they were happy when they were getting wins. They were happy when they would be able to beat Tennessee by 7 or 3 or win by a field goal. And now it's just super disappointed. You got to get new players in. And I feel like, you know, he was sharing from his heart that he wants them to support their team, whether they win by as much as the fans think or they barely win. You still need to be supportive of your team. And I appreciate it, because honestly, I felt, you know, even my senior year at Florida, there was parts of it that it wasn't just about winning. We went 12-0. It was about, well, you didn't win by as much as you did last year.
Right.
And honestly, that was probably one of the hardest parts of that year was, well, you in 06 you won by this, in 07 you scored this many points, in 08 you had this many points, why didn't you have as many? Well, I don't know, because the other team's pretty freaking good too, you know. And it does, it's you know, and Alabama has taken that to another level of 12 years of such dominance over and over and over again. And I think, man, if I was telling Alabama fans something, I would say, hey, step back. Appreciate the success. No, it's not going to last forever. You're at a place where they do love it and they're passionate, but remember showing up to games and you were happy that you just barely beat Southern Miss. Because I remember being at the game as a recruit and you're losing to Southern Miss and you came back to win on a crazy play and you were freaking out, right? So it's important to remember those times as well, so you can really appreciate. And in Thanksgiving, you know, maybe they should step back and say, hey, you know, we're pretty thankful that we have Nick Saban and we have this crazy run and maybe the best in the history of college football.
Yeah, I had a caller this week, Tim, who said, well, what do you think about the Georgia game? I said, you're an Alabama fan, right? I said, you know, the Auburn game. He said, we used to spend an entire year talking about this one game, and now fans are but I think that it's systemic throughout.
But
everything.
But this is so frustrating. I was talking to a few people this week that were saying, well, same things. Like, you know, they'll run through Auburn. Auburn's not a good team this year. And then they'll beat Georgia. And I'm like, have we forgotten what rivalry games look like?
Yeah.
I mean, we call it rivalry week for a reason. Like, listen, when Alabama comes here, it's never easy. I don't care what the records are. I don't care what the rankings are. It's hard.
Well, Auburn's won the last two times Alabama's been here.
Auburn plays
four.
Better against them here. It's one of the toughest places to play in college football. Like when you and I think sometimes people pull themselves out of the day-to-day and in reality to a certain extent, and they just see this kind of this big picture of, oh, it's 7-4, number 3 team in the country. They should go dominate. Like, No, it's really hard. It's really hard to go into the stadium and win. Listen, I remember we walked in here and lost.
You
it's
did.
Tough. And we were a better team. But on that night, for 3 hours, Auburn was a better team. And Alabama needs to remember that from 2 years ago and from 4 years ago and remember how hard it is to win here because this is Auburn's season. And it's going to be I think it's for a while, it's going to be a dogfight.
Tim Tebow, we appreciate you coming by. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Absolutely.
Thanks as always.
See you, brother.
The one and only Tim Tebow joining us. We have a long way to go here on the program. Many, many more guests as we are live in Auburn. A great start with Brian Harsin and Tebow. How about that? Can we top that? I don't know.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back. Welcome to the program. We'll start bouncing around the country here in just a few minutes. And let's grab Greg next. Hey, Greg, good afternoon.
Paul, what I wanted to talk to you about is Coach Harsin's name's been dropped for the Washington position. According to 24/7, Auburn ranks number 19 in recruiting. With that being said, do you think that him being wooed for that job has caused us to be poor in recruiting, or is it because he is an unknown to the SEC nation?
Yeah, Greg, thanks for the call. I don't think his linkage to that job has any effect on recruiting. Recruiting has been struggling for some time.
Hello?
Thanks for the call. But I do think I don't know how much stock to put in that report. I saw the same thing you saw, and it's hard for me to believe that Brian Harsin would walk out of here after a year. I've seen it before, but it's still difficult for me to believe that, especially sitting here with him a couple of minutes ago and listening to his thoughts on the program. Okay, well, let's try Pat next. Pat, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. I thought that what Tim Tebow had to say was very interesting. I listened to the rant. I think Nick has brought head football coaching, at least at Alabama, to a new level. He did call Alabama fans self-absorbed, ungrateful so-and-sos.
He sure did.
Do you think this might be the beginning of the beginning of the end for Nick, that maybe it's just not worth it and his heart ate in it?
Well, I would ask you, Pat, and I know you will, ask me that question in 8 days, okay? Because I think a lot is going to transpire. But I'm never a big fan, whether we agree or sit with Saban or not, he's probably right. I think it's a dangerous road to go down to start attacking your own fan base. Hey, thanks for the call. Chris Budden joins us. She's on the call tomorrow for Georgia Tech and Georgia. Chris, thanks for the time. This is a game that almost everyone is looking past. I'm sure coaches on the Georgia side are stressing it is a rivalry game. Upsets do occur. Good afternoon, and lay it out for us.
I think it'll be a little bit. Biggest 35-point spread between the two teams since they split the FBS FCS. I think the way that Georgia plays is, you know, nameless, faceless opponent, and I expect them to come in tomorrow at noon and pretend like it's anyone else on the other side of the field and dominate.
How does a coaching staff keep his team focused for this game when every one of his fans is talking about next week's game?
Yeah, I just think it's a different mentality. You know, one of the things when I talked to Nolan Smith this week is I said, what is the difference in this year's team? Is it more talent? And he said, honestly, we've had more talented teams, in my opinion. To me, it's the connection of these guys. and certain players came back because they wanted to prove something, and they made a decision to come back together. And when you go out and you know why someone wants to play, you play a little bit harder than that person. And you notice that. I mean, gosh, I'm trying to watch film, and I'm like, which game do I watch? You know, and because they're just dominant in every single one. And in plays that even don't matter, you know, they in blowouts, they continue to give 100% effort on every single play. You see guys lifting each other up off the ground. You know, a running back hits the ground, there's five guys that are lifting back up before he even has a chance to start, you know, standing up on his own. I just think that there's a different kind of team chemistry around this. And so I think it doesn't matter, you know, that next week is the game. This is still a game to them.
And finally, Chris, on that subject, because that really, we were just talking about Alabama with some similar problems of everybody even looking past the Iron Bowl. That is, and I'm curious what you think, probably the most remarkable part of this Georgia team, that they don't seem to be flustered or have their attention span affected by anything this year.
Yeah, I think a part of it is just the joy that they play with and the pride that they play with. I mean, I was getting player phone calls at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday, literally as the rankings were being announced. And I was like, are you not in front of your TV, like watching the rankings? And they would joke, like, what show are you talking about? Oh, you know, that show that you're going to be number one. Oh, we're not allowed to watch that show. It's very much like we enjoy playing football. It doesn't matter who's next. We just want to go out and dominate each week. And it's from the players that I've talked to, like the passion, it's just different than I've seen with a lot of teams this season. Now, granted, it's towards the end of the season and some of the other teams are a little bit tired and a little bit banged up, but they have each other's back. I mean, the amount of players that sit there and defend Stenson Bennett when he's getting questioned in the media, it something about this team just feels different when you talk to them.
Chris Budden from ESPN, part of the call tomorrow for Georgia and Georgia Tech. We're heading to a break. We're live in Auburn, Alabama, where we've already talked to Tim Tebow and Brian Harsin. Many, many more guests. Remember, we had Barkley on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, giving us his preview. He's out west doing the golf today, I guess. Yeah, it is Friday. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back, and Mike Griffith joining us, and I'm joining Mike Griffith. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. You know, it's honestly, it's so many flashbacks, so much nostalgia. You know, my SEC career started here at Auburn, 1993. Everybody's like, oh, you really missed out. You should be on the Alabama beat. And I remember Terry Bowden was here, and he said, you know, people don't think I'm going to win, but we think we're pretty good. The best team you never saw, 11-0 Auburn, was on a television ban. None of their games were on television. It was an amazing 1993 season here.
The 93 Iron Bowl was shown in, I think, I can't remember if it wasn't pay-per-view, but I think in various coliseums at Tuscaloosa. I think Coleman Coliseum showed it because you couldn't get the game.
Yeah, 22-14. I remember Terry said that this is the only place where you could be undefeated through 10 games and not have job security.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't beaten Alabama. And that was a classic showdown between Bowden and Stallings. One of the best Iron Bowls ever. They knocked each other's quarterbacks out.
Sure did.
It was quite a showdown.
No yeah. Bo Nix's dad got knocked out of the game.
No,
he came into the game
first
for Stan White.
First through yeah. was right. to the end. Oh, right. We're getting nostalgic. Okay. Like I said, so it's great to be back on the
I wasn't covering it. I was just here.
Not a friendly. Yeah. Making friends.
Okay. I have to ask you this.
Sure.
Tebow was here a minute ago talking about Saban's comments, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
I was surprised. You know, listen, last year I really stumped for Nick Saban to win SEC Coach of the Year. Usually it's the best loser, the best mediocre coach or whatever. But I thought he had a special year coaching through COVID, that what Alabama achieved on the field. But I was very surprised when Nick Saban said, when I first got here, you were happy not to win. Let me tell you something, Coach Saban. With all due respect, Alabama had been winning for decades before you stepped foot on that campus. And those Alabama fans have a right to have confidence in their program and expect great things because they have invested not only with their loyalty, but millions of dollars and paid Nick Saban a king's ransom at the time. They gave him the opportunity of a lifetime to build that program as he wanted it built. And he did a tremendous job, Paul. There's no doubt that
we know that.
But to chastise the fans and to try to lower expectations, is the heat getting a little too hot on Nick Saban? Is he worried about the Georgia game? Or does he want to renegotiate his deal now that it looks like we're going to have a lot of $100 million a year coaches? I thought it was a little strange, and it didn't fit his narrative because, Paul, he said, everybody gives us their best game. Well, listen, doesn't he give everybody his best game? I mean, I cover Kirby Smart, and that's right out of the book of Saban, is that they play everybody the same, and they're going to give their best effort. And now he wants people to feel sorry for Alabama, that people are going to give them their best game? And by the way, I don't know that that was Texas A&M's best game, and I'm not sure that Nick Saban was the best coach that night against A&M. Did A&M have more talent than Alabama, or did Nick Saban maybe get out-coached by Jimbo Fisher this year?
Somebody have a cigarette. Just,
I mean, let's just keep it real, right? I mean, there's just it is what it is. And so but listen, Nick Saban, again, I enjoy his sermons and his speech and think he's been great for football. But
everybody said it was great.
I thought he was out of line telling people in Alabama that they didn't appreciate wins before he got there. Let me tell you, Paul, I grew up watching SEC football, and I also covered Michigan State, so I have an appreciation what Saban did there, even though he didn't win a bowl game, by the way. But to say that Alabama didn't appreciate wins before, or just was happy to win before he got there, that was preposterous. Ridiculous. Wow.
You are, by the way, the first person I have heard criticize Saban. Because everybody else has just followed the...
Well, you know, listen, it's okay to have a different opinion, by the way. That's part of what makes the Southeastern Conference so great, is that there are a lot of different fan bases and factions and opinions, and you don't just have to fall in line like little lambs because Nick Saban swings a big stick and he might embarrass you at a press conference.
Tell you one thing about Griff. He knows he's in Lee County. I can tell you that. Wow.
Well,
I'm so glad. And by the way, I just thought of this. You just got through saying you cover Kirby Smart.
Yeah. Right?
Don't they have a game over in Georgia?
Paul, how many times have we said that the Georgia
Tech game? I just realized you're not supposed to be here.
Well, no, I am. Because by halftime of that game in Atlanta that nobody's going to be watching, they're going to be looking for when this game kicks off to see what happens between Alabama and Auburn.
Okay.
I mean, we've talked about the Georgia-Georgia Tech rivalry. And after the Georgia fans watch the team beat Georgia Tech, they go out and look for ants on the sidewalk to step on because apparently they take enjoyment out of playing a cream puff in the last game of the year. Nobody outside, that rivalry has jumped the shark. LSU stopped playing Tulane decades ago. Georgia is wasting a road game going to Georgia Tech every other year. They really are.
Okay. Now, that I agree with you on, but I want to go back to Saban because – I mean, I had a million things I had to ask you.
Sure.
At least the producers gave me because I did not realize you were going to be on. But tell me this. What do you think Saban is really saying? Let's dig this up. Let's get underneath.
I'll tell you what I think's happening. I think that the proliferation of sports gambling is making the betting line more prevalent, and I think teams and coaches are more aware of this than ever. And when teams don't cover the spread,
right. People
get upset, and they're angry.
They lost money.
Right. I mean, so Alabama didn't cover the spread against Arkansas, or they didn't cover the spread against LSU. And let's also look at the college football playoff, by the way.
Okay.
Now, I want you to think about this. Let's transition here, if you don't mind, Paul. I think there's this cozy notion that a two-loss Alabama or a one-loss Georgia gets in, and if Georgia loses, they're just in, and if Alabama loses, let me tell you why that's wrong.
Ooh.
Because let me tell you who is lurking if Cincinnati wins out and if Ohio State wins.
Okay.
Notre Dame's sitting right there.
Notre Dame is
lurking.
Are
you going to take a two-loss Bama over one-loss Notre Dame if you're TV executives?
Every week.
No. And by the way, Georgia.
I would. I would argue that Notre Dame is a bigger brand, is a lesser brand than Alabama right
you
now.
You would argue that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, last year I got a 34-10 score that Notre Dame was on the wrong side of last year that would argue that point. They lost 34-10 last year and got into the college football
playoff. Well, you're forgetting to say that Notre Dame beat the team that beat them.
They had lost by 24 points, and they were.
By the way, I'm not saying that.
Now think about this too. Let's say Georgia. Let's say that Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC.
Does somebody have a beer? I'm really.
I mean, it gets convoluted, but this is why we like it.
I don't do that normally, but he's getting. This guy's got me on edge right now.
Hey, let's just say that Alabama beats Georgia.
Okay.
And let's say Georgia beats Georgia Tech by 27 points tomorrow.
Okay.
Notre Dame just beat Georgia Tech by 55.
I'm just saying, data point, schedule strength,
common opponent. I guarantee you Kirby Smart's not going to tell the team, hey, guys.
Well, sure Kirby's going to tell the team that, but nobody on this 13-person committee gives a rip about
it. I saw Georgia left out in 2018. Over an Oklahoma team that couldn't stay on the field against Alabama for 15 minutes.
They were
down 28-0.
Let me kick back. I'm sure you're going to go next. What Scott Strickland was on the committee from Florida, and he didn't want Georgia in there.
Mike, I
lived through the aftermath of the Kennedy assassination. I've read every conspiracy book that you or somebody else has written.
Now wait a minute. Let's just rewind a little bit, and let's remember that it was the Oklahoma athletic director who was on the committee. Okay. And while we're talking about the pomp and arrogance and how dare we challenge these people, it was the Oklahoma AD who
What year were you born?
1966.
So you were not at Dealey Plaza on November 22nd.
I was not there. But I'm just saying.
You should have been.
Anything can happen with the College Football Playoff Committee. And I do think Georgia is one of the best four teams. And I do think they should get in regardless of what happens.
We're out of time. If you want to see more of this tonight on WWE Raw, Mike and I will continue this. Thank you, Mike. We're coming right back. We're live at Auburn.